Today's show is brought to you by Smart Home. Get free shipping on qualifying orders of $50 or more. Go to htguys.com, click on the Smart Home banner. By Netflix, you want to watch more movies? They've got them all. Go to htguys.com, click on the Netflix banner and the HT Guys store. There's still time for great deals on Black Friday at htguys.com/shop.
Welcome to the HD TV podcast featuring the HT Guys, Ara Derdarian and Braden Russell. Now, the HD TV podcast.
All right, gobble gobble. Hope you guys are having a great Thanksgiving holiday weekend. This is episode 506, November 24th, we said.
25th.
And we're sort of pre-recording this. Obviously, we're not recording on Thanksgiving. We're spending that with our families. But we will be putting a full show full of...
It's a calibration corner.
Yeah, full of action-packed information and stuff that will keep you on the edge of your seat. It'll be good stuff. But we did pre-record, obviously, this
right.
intro to
and
the show.
So one thing I'll ask is if you've gone out today and you've done some Black Friday shopping, send us an email, tweet us, whatever. We'll kind of... we're just curious. Let's share our experiences and maybe put some comments at the website or on our Google Plus pages.
Yeah. Speaking of that,
yes,
our contact information, go to htguys.com and all of our contact information is there. And for this show, if you go to this episode, there you can leave comments. So if you say, hey, I went out on Black Friday and did this, you can leave comments for this particular episode at htguys.com.
So we're recording this before Thanksgiving, but I'm telling you, I am so looking forward to eating some turkey.
Oh, shoot, man. We do two meals every Thanksgiving, and I don't know how we do it, but we continue to do it every year, and I'm looking forward to it, too.
All right. With that, here's Calibration Corner. You know, before we get into the Calibration Corner, we did get a bunch of Calf Pals, and I do want to do their shout-outs now. The first one comes to us from Raphael Lecky. Keep up the good work, guys. Happy holidays. Also, have you considered setting up a recurring subscription option instead of one-off payments? I chip in regularly, especially if I didn't have to remember. And Raphael, we do have a recurring payment. It's on the website. I believe it's the button just above the Calf Pal button. And that's a recurring payment of $5 a month. So thanks for reminding us to let our listeners know about that option. And take that up. And we'll be happy to drink that coffee once a month on a regular basis. And then there's Thomas Harrigan. He says, thanks again for great shows, guys. Here's a contribution in hopes that you can do this full time. Enjoy the holidays. We got a Calf Pal from Ethan Banks. Been listening to every show for a couple of years. Thanks and keep up the good work. For listeners in a data networking, I host the Packet Pushers podcast, and that's at packetpushers.net. We cover firewalls, switches, routers, etc., and we talk with some industry guests. Awesome industry guests. So thank you, Ethan. And Brad Bogus is back this year. I think he did this last year as well. Love the show and been listening for years. Please ask your listeners to support Secret Santa this year. They help military families deployed around the world have a great holiday. You can find out more information at www.soldierssecretsanta.org. And it's soldierssecretsanta.org. And of course, we'll have a link at the website for that. He did this last year, and hopefully a lot of the HT Guys listeners helped out. Anything to support our troops is something that Braden and I fully support. And then last on the list is Grant Gillespie. Every listener must have gotten $25 of information out of the show, so here's mine. And if you could plug www.filmsites.com.au. Budget websites that you can maintain yourself for any kind of business or organization, particularly filmmakers. So got a few Calf Pals. We really appreciate it. Braden and I would love to do this full time. It does take your support to do it. But even if we can't do it full time, the Calf Pals do help us with the costs of putting the show together. And, it also helps just kind of compensate us for the amount of effort that goes into the show. So we definitely, definitely appreciate it. So I think with that, now we're going to get into Calibration Corner. All right. So, Ray, welcome back to the HGTV and Home Theater podcast. And, you know, you've got our special Friday after Thanksgiving Day Calibration Corner.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
So hopefully a bunch of people are listening in line while they're waiting to get those great deals and all this stuff. And we'll kind of get you through what it takes to get it calibrated. So, you know, we were just talking about how I didn't have that many questions, and I threatened kind of not a very real threat that we might cancel the show. And we got a whole slew of questions, a bunch of great questions. So I'm really looking forward to this show.
Oh, good deal. I'm looking forward to try to, you know, demystify some of these people's questions.
All right, cool. So let's just jump right into it. First one comes to us from Brent Wells. Actually, he asked us a couple questions, and he says, I've gotten into calibration in the past few years, both audio and video, and I've done some plasma calibrations and a few projector calibrations for friends. He wanted to get some deeper training other than just what he's read online, but he wants some training. I don't think he's looking for, you know, the training that you've done, you know, where it was in class and that kind of stuff. He's curious, is there any good online training available for this type of stuff?
Well, as far as I know, there's only one thing that I know of that's kind of online. SpectraCal, the manufacturers of the CalMan software, have started doing webinars, and it's kind of an online video training webinar. I think they're about an hour and a half or something to that extent, and it gives you pretty good basic fundamentals of what's involved in doing the calibration.
Do you have a website by any chance, or should I just look for SpectraCal in Google or something?
I would just say go to SpectraCal.com, and they will have all the latest and greatest information as far as the webinars. I know that they also offer what they call their Pro Monitor one-day calibration training, and that's like an eight-hour class. And there's a lot of hands-on and that kind of thing. If that's something that he could do, I think that'd even be better as far as training.
Okay, and then he does have an I1 sensor, and he wants to know, is there another sensor that's like a level above this that wouldn't break his bank, and would it give him better readings?
Well, here's the funny thing. He says he has an I1 sensor. The downfall to that is the company, X-Rite, who makes the I1, makes about three different sensors that have almost the exact same name. You have the I1D2. You have the new I1. I think they're calling it I1D3 or I1 Pro, Display Pro. And then there is an I1 Pro. And all three of them are completely different sensors. My personal recommendation, if he's looking for possibly, you know, one of the better end sensors, I would look at the I1 Pro spectral radiometer, and it's about $1,100 plus or minus. If that's a little too high, then possibly move down to what they're calling the I1. I think it's the I1 Professional, Display Professional, and that's somewhere in the, I think it's $400 to $500 range.
All right, and he's got one final question, and it's not so much calibration. He wants to know if either of us have gotten any experience with the Black Diamond Gen 3 screens. Now, I have a Gen 2 in my theater that I really like, but I've not seen the Gen 3. I've heard things about it. Have you seen it in person, and what are your thoughts if you have?
I have not seen the Gen 3. Your screen was actually my first exposure to the Gen 2. I have spoken to SI, the makers of the Black Diamond, and they tell me that part of the thing with the Gen 3 is they've kind of gotten rid of a little bit more of that sparkly shimmeriness that we noticed on your screen.
You know, and part of that also is I have a screen that's higher than one gain, and you said that also kind of exacerbates the situation with that sparkliness, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so I think if I would have got, I think they have a 0.8 gain. If I would have gotten that screen, it would have been a little bit less. But that's good to hear that, gosh, I almost wish I could swap it out for that. But it's not so bad that I can't enjoy what I'm watching, because it's not everywhere.
No, after the calibration, I was really impressed with the image of that.
And I gotta say, Ray, it still blows me away how good it looks. And I'd like to tell everyone, if you've got a screen that's, you know, you spend a lot of money on your, whether it be your plasma or a projector, get it professionally calibrated. And, you know, that's a good segue, Ray. Why don't you tell them a little bit about your company, what you do, and how they can get a hold of you?
Oh, okay. Well, I mainly just do calibration. I'm just a service provider, and I do audio and video calibration. I also do a small amount of consulting, as in, like, somebody's trying to set up a projector screen combo, and I can make recommendations as to what I've seen works correctly and that kind of thing. I don't sell anything, so I'm very, very open to making the best recommendation for your needs. I'm not biased by any product line that I carry. And I just all around try to give you the best bang for the buck. And I can be contacted either through my website, which is SoCalHT, as in home theater, .com. And all my contact information is on there, my email address, phone number, and give me a call or contact me, and I'll try to answer any questions you have.
All right, excellent. So we'll move on to our next emails from David Askvig. He has a question about plasma. In fact, that's interesting. I'm glad he asked this because I have a follow-up to his question. He says, can you talk about whether burn-in continues to be a problem with newer plasmas, and what are the best practices when using a plasma TV?
I have not seen a big issue with burn-in. I have seen image retention on some of the newer displays. You and I had the same display, the Panasonic VT25. And while I've been doing testing and calibrating that kind of thing on that display, I've noticed what looks like burn-in. You see a ghost image of the last pattern I had up or whatever. But that is not burn-in. That's literally image retention. Turn the TV off, a couple hours later, come back, turn it on, and it's gone. It's, for lack of better words, it's just something that stays there for a brief moment. It's not a permanent thing. I haven't seen any real burn-in issues in a while.
So my friend of mine has had a VT30. He bought a 65-inch VT30, and I was telling him how great that thing was, and he was all excited about it. But apparently his kids were watching ESPN, and what all day. And what he said is when there would be a bright, solid kind of color up, you would see the ESPN ticker and logo at the bottom of the screen. So he actually went and, got it replaced. And he told his kids you can't watch it, for hours on end. So I have heard, now would that count as burn-in or retention?
Well, kind of depends. If they were doing it long enough and he turned the TV off and came back two or three days later and it was still faintly there, then that's burn-in. I'm saying I haven't seen that issue on my display.
That's one thing he didn't do. Sorry for cutting you off there. He did not just turn it off and leave it. I told him, and tell me if this is even a good or bad idea. I said, find a turn on your TV tuner and don't have anything connected to it. And instead of having it, I don't know, some TVs you can set it up. So instead of just putting up a solid blue screen, it puts up just the snow. And I said that would kind of help get rid of the retention. Is that, am I off base there?
No, that's right. But there's even one better. In your VT25 and in that VT30, if I'm not mistaken, there is an option. I think it's called video wash or video wipe in the menu system. And literally it scrolls a bar across a bright white bar that, keeps going across the screen for 5-10 minutes.
So he claims he did that. So maybe we have found the one case or a very few cases of it. But I've got the 58-inch. I've watched all kinds of stuff. There is absolutely no burn-in, no retention or anything. So I'm satisfied with it. And my advice, David, is just watch TV like you normally would watch it. And I don't think you'll have a problem.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Possibly watch TV in something other than dynamic mode also.
Yeah.
Anything you watch in that mode is definitely going to be whatever's going on is definitely going to be enhanced.
Okay, so then he has another question. He has so the previous calibration corners were a lot about video, and you had a great segue. You say you also do audio. David would like us to talk a little bit about audio calibration. So let's not go into detail because we could be here forever. Maybe we'll take this as a thought to go, do a next one dedicated specifically to audio. But he wants to know on receivers, room modes, setting crossover for subwoofers, acoustics, how to play speakers. I don't know if it's fair to ask you, can you do that in a couple of minutes? And I've got an opinion about room modes, but I'll let the expert say it first.
Well, here's the thing. This is not something that's answered easily or quickly. It's a case by case issue. Generally, I like looking at frequency response of speakers to determine crossover points. Like to see the capability of the subwoofers that are used with them before I make, crossover determinations. Room modes definitely do play into it. It's also going to make a big issue as to where you place your subwoofer, where your seating positions are. It's a very, very complicated question that has no real simple answer.
So the bottom line, you said something in there that made sense. It's case by case. You're going to have to tune the room for that room.
Correct.
And so whatever you say, like set your crossover at 85 dB, which is kind of, a lot of people say that. It may work. It may not. It depends on your room.
Yes, correct.
Now, I may have misunderstood. When I read the word room modes, I was thinking like when they have like big hall or music or that kind of thing. That's what I was thinking when they said room modes. But I think he was referring to something else.
My assumption is room modes is every room has given frequencies that are enhanced or diminished based on the dimensions of the width, length, and height. And those are normally in the acoustic realm called room modes.
Okay. So, yeah, I was thinking like rooms where, like when I was working at Sony, they would actually go to the sound stages where they would do movie mixing, and they would detail the sound there, and they would try to put that into the receivers and say, Cary Grant Theater, which is one of the theaters that they mix up at the Sony Pictures. And to me, that I'm not a big fan of. It's like, you know what? The best is just put it in Dolby 5.1 and have your own room tuned to the best for your room.
I have to agree. I think more along the lines of what you're referring to is kind of like the room effects.
That's where I made that mistake. You're right. Room effects versus room modes.
Yeah.
All right. And his last question is about passing an HDMI video signal through a receiver. He wants to know, does that degrade the signal? Is it better to go straight to the TV with HDMI and then do coax or optical to the receiver? He says that there's a problem with that he acknowledges that you won't be able to get your true HD if you do that because you need HDMI to get that. So what's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that, once again, case by case, but it is part of like my calibration procedure is what we call an end-to-end calibration. You calibrate the display, and then what you do is the next thing, like we did on your unit, we put the receiver in line, and I put my signal generator through your receiver to make sure that the receiver was not affecting the signal in any way, shape, or form. If you can make that definition at that point in time, then yeah, you're not going to degrade anything. You put up, some multi-burst patterns, you look at some one-to-one pixel mapping, and if everything looks good, then you're not degrading anything, so not an issue running the video through the unit.
But let me challenge that a little bit more. If it's digital, can it really be affected by running through the receiver? I'm under the assumption, and I'm open to being wrong here, that it's the receiver is just going to take the digital ones and zeros and pass it right through to the TV. So in that regard, how would that affect the picture that you see on screen?
Okay. I agree with you that technically it is ones and zeros, but every modern receiver, if not everyone, almost everyone, has a scaling chip. And different scaling chips have different characteristics to them. I've actually seen Blu-ray players plug directly into a display and they look one way, and then you put them through a receiver that has, I don't know, a Faroujia scaler or a DVD-O scaler built into it, and it changes the picture subtly. It either softens it or does something else to it. And then in that case, in some units, you just put the video in what they call pass-through mode, so you're not going through the scaler.
Okay, so that's the key there. That's the part that I was missing. If you can put it in pass-through mode, then what I said previous is true. If they're going to do scaling, obviously that's going to have some sort of effect. It could be positive or it could be negative. It just matters. And so that's why you do the calibration the way you do.
Correct.
And then he says, if I wanted to send Blu-ray directly to my TV via HDMI, but still want to have his advanced audio, what kind of splitter would he need if there is such a splitter? I think he mentions an Oppo. Oh, no, somebody else mentioned that the previous emailer, I didn't mention it in the podcast here, that the Oppo's got two video outputs, two HDMI outputs. So you can send one to the TV and one to the receiver, so you can still get the... You know the next generation audio.
That would be my recommendation, is to look at one of the players with the dual HDMIs.
You know, and I think the reason they Oppo did that is for 3D, because a lot of people have 3D televisions, but the receivers aren't 3D capable, and this gives them a mechanism to get 3D on the screen and still get the true HD and the DTS master audio.
Yeah, that's correct. That was the main intent.
All right, so next email is from Rob H. Actually, he's a great supporter of the show. He makes a lot of comments on the website and sends us emails. So he's got an LG 55LH90. It's an LED backlit local dimming LCD. It has two picture modes, ISF Expert 1 and 2. And in addition, it's got, obviously, it's got the presets Vivid, Standard, etc. But it also has a mode called THX Cinema. He says, is there any real benefit in using the THX Cinema mode, especially if there's an ISF Expert mode available?
Kind of funny you brought this question up, because I just answered this question on a forum about a week ago. Most TVs that have ISF modes are basically, when they ISF certify them, what it means is that the display has a mode or a setting that is calibratable and lockable.
That usually happens to me, the phone ringing, Ray.
Give me a sec here. So, sorry about that.
No problem.
But what it is that mode is not calibrated. All it is a placeholder for a calibrator to come in, adjust the display, and then set those settings in that mode and lock the mode. And normally what a calibrator does is, once he locks it, it either defaults as ISF day or ISF night. THX mode, THX Cinema, is actually a pre-calibrated mode from the factory.
Right. And it's, I think you've mentioned before, that's in a darkened room, right? Pitch black room.
Yeah, at least from what I've been told, it's in a completely black room.
So, yeah, so if your room's set up like that, you don't need calibration. You're good to go. Now, I will say this: I have the THX mode on my 58-inch Panasonic plasma, and I was very satisfied with the settings there. And I figured, for what I paid for the plasma, I didn't want to have you come back out and have you go through it. I'm sure you would have improved it, but at that point, the effort for the return on investment kind of thing was a decision I made. So everyone's got to make that decision. Do they want to go do that? But check out the THX mode. You know, it's probably going to be, of all your presets, the best looking one. And typically, it works great at night for movies. If you're watching a lot of stuff in the daytime, that's probably not going to be the mode for you.
Yeah, that's probably true. Like I said, I personally love TVs that are ISF certified, because, like I said, it gives you two placeholders that, once you calibrate it, you can lock all the settings in and lock that mode. And that unit will be, when it's put into that mode, will be calibrated for that viewing environment.
Okay. And, you know, Rob, you had a bunch of questions on here. I'm not going to go through all of them, so please forgive me. I'm going to kind of pick and choose here. And I'm going to pick the ones that I'd like the answers to as well. So he asks, what the heck is XVYCC? He says he sees it listed in specs all the time, but outside of some camcorders, he hasn't seen sources that actually output that. What's it all about? And if it's available, why don't other sources use it?
Okay. XVYCC is, well, let me step back. You've seen the what we call the CIE color chart, which looks like the colored guitar pick with the triangle inside of it.
Oh yeah. Yes. You showed me that when you were calibrating my house.
Yeah. That's called the CIE chart. It's basically the guitar. The total chart is the full spectrum of color that the human eye can see. And then normally inside of there is a triangle. And the triangle normally designates the area of color that is used for, like, Rec. 709 for Blu-ray mastering. Now, what XVYCC is a larger color triangle or a larger color palette that they use in, like, high-def consumer grade camcorders and that kind of thing. It's a completely different color palette, or a slightly expanded color palette, from what the standard Rec. 709 for Blu-ray mastering would be, or high def mastering would be.
Okay. And where would we see that in the wild? In other words, Blu-ray discs, where would we see that kind of stuff?
Where you're going to see that in the wild is when you got your Panasonic high-def camcorder and you're shooting content at home. Well, that content's being recorded in the XVYCC color space. And when you played it back on your TV, if you had that enabled, you would get, for lack of better words, kind of a little bit more vividy colors.
Can I quote you on vividy? I like that. Vividy. I like that.
Vivid. But that's where you would see that. It's not necessarily a standard for Blu-ray content or high-def content.
Okay. And finally, he wants to know what your opinions are on passive acoustic room treatments. For instance, like bass traps, absorption panels made from insulation, that kind of thing. He says, after installing the new acoustics for room treatments, what sort of calibration should a user perform on their own? So, to reap the benefits of the new treatments, if even you need to do any calibration after you've installed those.
Well, actually, the best way to do room treatment is passive room treatment. The problem is, as we all know, is it's not very wife accepted.
Those corner bass traps, my wife would never go for those.
Exactly. The better part of us are married and we have to keep peace in the household. So it is the best way to do actual sound treatment. And if and when you put up bass traps or absorbers for first reflections and that kind of thing, what you normally have to do, and probably the most rudimentary thing to do, would be break out your SPL meter and re-level match all your speakers. Because let's say you put a bass trap in your room, it's now going to trap part of that sound or take a frequency out that is bloated over the other one, so it would make the SPL sound louder. So when you put that in, your bass is going to sound maybe a little more diminished than it did, and you may have to bring that back up. Or if you put up panels on the wall for first reflection, well, now you're absorbing part of that first reflection, and some of the sound that was getting to your SPL meter the first time you calibrated is now being absorbed, and the sound hitting you is going to be at a more diminished level.
Okay, great answer. Let's see, I think we got a couple more, and we'll move on to Scott from Cincinnati. He recently purchased a Vizio XVT55SV. We reviewed that a while ago, but he's using a calibration disc, a VIA, to calibrate the display, and he says it doesn't address some of the newer TV settings like LED, LCD backlight, and RGB offsets. He wants to know, what's an optimal way to choose what the backlight is and the offset setting should be without, if it's not covered by the disc, how would you go about calibrating that?
Well, let me go to the easiest one first. RGB offsets are actually the controls you normally use for setting a custom white balance or building the black and white palette like we did on your projector. And as we saw, without instrumentation, it can't be done by eye. So my recommendation for RGB offset is leave it where it is. unless you actually have instrumentation to measure the balance of red, blue, and green in the signal, you're probably not going to do it any good. Backlighting is kind of a subjective thing. I mean, if you have a meter on there, you could actually use the backlighting control to bring your light output level up without affecting your grayscale. But without knowing exactly where you are, then it just becomes an issue of if the picture's too dim, crank up the backlighting a little bit more. It shouldn't totally shift your color picture at all. It should leave that the same, just make it brighter.
Okay. And our last question for you, I think this is a pretty straightforward one. It comes to us from Steve Muratia, and he wants to know, for those of us listening who live outside of Southern California, how do I find a good qualified calibration specialist? Are there any websites you can recommend, Ray, or other resources that our listeners can use if they live? Obviously, if you're in Southern California, call Ray. Otherwise, how would they do that?
Well, I actually do have a recommendation for that. I, being a THX calibrator, belong to a THX forum. It's a calibrator-based forum. And the website for that is thxvideotech.com. On that forum, there is a public area that is available to general users without having to register. And it lists every THX calibrator by state and country, because we have calibrators in Canada, Australia, all over the place. And that listing is probably the most recent and up-to-date listing of qualified THX calibrators.
And let's see, I think that's it. So I really appreciate you coming on the show, Ray. You can find more information about Ray at SoCalHT.com. I believe you've done a few calibrations for some of our listeners. And so you can, if you do live in Southern California, you can contact Ray with confidence that he'll get you hooked up the way you want to be hooked up. And you know what, Ray, maybe next time we'll specifically do a call out for audio questions, and maybe we can get into audio calibration a little bit more thoroughly. Maybe you can give like a primer. So here's, you know, step one, here's what I would do if, you know, you're just getting into it, and then we can work our way up into some of the more technical details.
Okay, that definitely sounds great.
And if you're listening to this on Black Friday, hopefully you picked up some great deals and you can put some of the concepts that Ray talked about here to use on your new projector or television or receiver. So we really appreciate it, Ray. And I was going to say have a happy Thanksgiving, because we're recording this before Thanksgiving, but you're probably listening to this afterwards. But anyway, Ray, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Hey, you too.
So I just listened back to some of the interview I just did with Ray, and you know, I did get a new laptop, so the levels are a little bit off. I may have clipped a few times on that, but Ray sounded okay, and since that's the information you really wanted to hear, I guess that's okay. Anyway, so that's it for this show. We hope that you enjoyed it, and hope that you had a good Thanksgiving if you're in the U.S., and if you're outside of the U.S., hopefully you just had a good Thursday and Friday, and now it's time to go out and watch some HDTV, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Calibration Corner with Ray Coronado,
the calibration guy.
Email questions and comments for Ray to hdtvpodcast@mac.com.